Welcome to another inspirational message from Bridge Church Melbourne.
Well, this morning, the title of my message is actually, What Are You Carrying? And it's pretty obvious right now what I'm carrying. Looks like I've got a basketball. It feels like I've got a basketball under here. But the good news is soon you'll be able to meet a new little baby, boy or girl, I don't know. Who thinks boy? Who thinks girl? Yay! That's what we think too. We're not going to be upset either way, but we think it's a girl, so we'll be very surprised if it is a boy. But it's obvious what I'm carrying today. And about 4 years ago, Don and I, we went on a hiking trip. So my brother and his wife are very keen hikers, adventurers. They do everything. And so they said, do you want to come on a hike with us to Wilson's Prom? And I was like, yeah, cool. This doesn't sound too bad. And I thought it was going to be pretty easy. But there were two things I was very glad on this trip that someone was carrying. The first thing was chocolate. Now, this is because I thought it was going to be about a couple of hours just to get where we were going to camp overnight. Anyway, about 4 hours into the trip, we're walking. I've got this huge backpack comes up to here and down there and walking like this. And my brother announces about 4 hours in, oh, guys, I think we're nearly at the halfway mark. I was like, are you kidding me? And they deliberately didn't tell me how long this hike was because they knew I would have said no. But anyway, at that moment, I sat down and I'm like, I need a rest. I just don't know if I can do this. And then someone pulled out chocolate and it changed everything. It was the best thing I had ever tasted. I took so long to eat it. I just took my time because I thought the longer I can sit here, the better. But I was very glad someone was carrying chocolate. Helped me get to the final destination. The second thing I was very glad someone was carrying, my husband, was a head torch, because I don't know if you've been to Wilson's Prom, but when you have to hike somewhere that far to get to where you're staying, they're not very nice toilets. They're just, it's a bit of like a drop dunny, they call it. Anyway, so I went during the daylight hours so that I wouldn't have to go in the dark, but then sure enough, it's dark, we're lying in the tent, and I'm like, oh no, I've got to go. I'm like, Don, and I'm not going to be like this all night. I'm like, we've just got to do it. So it's about 100 metres to get to the toilet. I made Don come with me. He's walking with his head torch to get there. And then I make him stand outside in the dark while I take the head torch in. So I go in and I'm sitting there. And then I had this thought. I wonder how many spiders are around here. Because it's not a matter of if there's spiders out in the forest, right? There's no question. I was like, oh, I wonder how many there are like around me right now. And so I thought, I'm just going to have a look to make sure I'm safe. So I got this head torch and I looked down like this. And what do you think was crawling up the outside of the toilet in between my bare legs? A huntsman, a big furry huntsman. I could not believe it. I screamed, flew off the toilet. Don thought I'd fallen in the toilet. He was running in going, are you all right? You're all right. I was beside myself. But I was so glad that Don carried a head torch that day, because who knows if I'd still be here. I don't know. And don't you think it's just worse, the thought of a spider touching you, than it actually biting? Like for me, I'm like, oh, that would have probably killed me if I had have felt that on my legs. So I was very glad that Don was there that day with his head torch. Because what we carry, this is the whole point I'm trying to make. I hope you enjoyed that story. The whole point I'm trying to make is what we carry is actually very important. It doesn't just affect us, but affects the people around us and how we can help them as well. So I want to talk about, we've just come out of this closer season with prayer and fasting, and who was at conference a couple of weeks ago. It was an incredible time, and I've spoken to person after person after person who have said, do you know that is the best conference I've ever been to in my life? And this is people that have been to a few conferences. And when you ask them why, every one of them says, it's not necessarily because of the teaching. It's not necessarily because of, you know, the speakers that came or the music, but they actually encountered the presence of God afresh, and it was so tangible. It was so powerful. And Don and I, we both experienced it, and I can say as well, it was one of the best conferences I've ever been to, not because of anything other than the presence of God. And there were times where I was prayed for and I just couldn't stop laughing and I was crying in a good way, but I just felt all warm and I could just feel the presence of God and he was speaking to me. There was a time, I don't know if anyone saw, when Don was just out on the floor for about an hour. And everyone's like, is he okay? I'm like, I don't know. And then when he did get up, he couldn't stop laughing and just the joy of the Lord. And he was just, God was speaking to him. And these, it's not weird when people fall over. It's not like people have been pushed over and they have to lie down. And all it is just the presence of God is so strong. Sometimes we just can't stand. We just can't bear it because it's so awesome. It's an incredible feeling. But I was actually quite challenged at conference because here we were, just hundreds and hundreds of people experiencing God's tangible presence like this. And I thought, what's actually the point of this? Because this is incredible. This is amazing. But where do we go from here, God? Because there's a whole world out there that doesn't actually even know about God, doesn't even know this experience is available of feeling his presence. And God really challenged me. And he was like, Hannah, my presence is not just here for you to enjoy right now in this moment. My presence is for you to carry to a world who needs it. See, we're not just here to enjoy God. We actually need to be carriers of his presence. So I want to ask you today, what are you carrying? What am I carrying? Because there's nothing more important than carrying the presence of God to people. There's nothing more that they need than the presence of God. Why? Because we live in a world that is broken and searching for meaning. People have questions. People are searching. And we have the answer in Jesus Christ. As Christians, when we come into relationship with Jesus, we have found that answer. We have found that hope in him. And the way that they're going to experience it is if we carry the presence to them. In a world, in this world, people are carrying a whole lot of things around. I don't know if you've noticed, but emotional things like hurt and pain and relationship troubles and shame and fear and pride. People carry so many things around. They carry physical things as well, like their credit cards. They carry their wealth and their possessions around. People carry questions. Is there a God? Is there actually more to life than all the things I'm carrying right now, than all the things that I'm trying to do? But, you know, Jesus came to this earth to show people there's something far better that they can carry. And it's what Jesus himself carried. It's not physical things. When Jesus was on this earth, he didn't carry around all these possessions and this whole kingdom with all this wealth. He just carried himself around. All he had was the clothes on his back, shoes on his feet. He carried the presence of God. He carried the presence of God. See, Jesus was God in human form. So therefore, wherever he went, he was literally just carrying God and his presence to people. And it was obvious to people that there was something different about Jesus. Whenever we read about Jesus, we see that the blind eyes were opened, sick people were healed. Every sickness he healed, every disease he healed. He saw dead people come back to life. He would speak with such wisdom and authority that people's eyes would be open and they would give their lives to Jesus. He commanded the wind and waves to be still, and they did. See, it was very, very obvious that Jesus carried the presence of God. As a Christian, is it obvious to people that you carry the presence of God? Because we're all called to carry his presence. Now, I want to have a look at a story in John chapter 4 of how Jesus carried the presence of God to a particular woman. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to John chapter 4. It's going to come up on the screen as well. So in this instance, Jesus was traveling and he was tired, so he sat down at a well. And we'll pick up in verse 7 where a Samaritan woman comes to the well. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. And Jesus continues, that was a bit of a full-on conversation, wasn't it? Jesus continues this conversation with the woman and ends up revealing to her that he actually is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. And I want us to look at what did it look like for Jesus in this instance with this woman? What did it look like for him to carry the presence of God to her? See, the first thing I noticed was that Jesus was always ready to have a conversation. Jesus was sitting at the well because he was tired. He wasn't even meant to be associating with Samaritans as a Jew. But he saw her as a woman who needed God's love. He saw her as important, and he took the time to have a conversation with her. Are we always ready for a conversation with people? Or are we too busy or too tired to talk to that homeless person or that woman in the cafe that looks down or whoever it is in your life? Are we too busy or are we too tired to make time for these people? Because it's not always going to look like what we think. It's not going to be on our time. It's going to be on God's time. 1 Peter 3:15 says to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. Are you ready? Am I ready? Are you willing to give a reason for the hope that you have? Am I willing? Because every person needs to know the love of God. How else did Jesus carry the presence of God to this woman? Well, Jesus wasn't afraid to make statements that would spark questions about God. Jesus says to her, everyone who drinks this water is going to be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give is never going to thirst. Jesus is actually talking himself up quite a bit. He's saying, I've got everything that you need. And it got me thinking, how often do I talk Jesus up like that? How often do I talk God up? Like, imagine if I said things like, if you only knew how much peace I have knowing God, you'd actually want him too. This really challenged me. I was like, wow, that's pretty full on. Imagine if I said to people, I don't worry about how much money is in my bank account because I've found something that's far more valuable in life than that. I don't stress about those things. And you can actually have that too if you want it. I don't necessarily talk like that. Do you know why? Because I think of what they'll say next and that I won't have an answer and I won't know the right things to say. But Jesus was so confident and full of the presence of God, he went straight to those conversations. Do you know why? Because he wanted people to think about eternity, things that really matter. See, we think about the here and the now, and what are they going to think of me? What are they going to say? But Jesus thinks of eternity and what they need to hear. Do I think about eternity when I'm talking to people about God? Or do I just think about my own comfort? Or am I too worried that they won't understand and I won't know what to say? It's challenging, isn't it? What else did Jesus do to carry the presence of God to this woman? Well, as you all heard, he told her that she had five husbands in the past and the man she was with now is not actually your husband. These are things that a stranger could not have known about her. And the fact that Jesus knew these things, it left her in awe and realizing that he really could be the Son of God. Do you know there's things that God can reveal to us as Christians about other people that can open their eyes wide in wonder and end up leading them to him? A couple of years ago, Don and I were invited to a life group to speak. And on the night, we were about to start speaking, but we were having a bit of prayer time. And I really felt, I was like, God, I really want to give a word to someone. I want to encourage someone. And I want you to show me something that someone needs to hear. And there was this lady who I'd never seen her before. And I just said to her, I asked God, show me something for her. And God just gave me this picture of the word golden. And I just saw gold in her hands and just golden. And that was it. That's all I got. So I said to her, I just see the word golden in your life right now. And I see you holding gold in your hands. And I don't know if that means anything to you, but I just feel that's what God wants to share with you. Didn't have any idea what I was doing really, but just followed what I felt God saying. Anyway, at the end of the night, she got quite emotional at the time. At the end of the night, she was like, thank you so much. That was really, really good. Like, I really needed to hear that. And then that was it. Anyway, last Christmas, I bumped into her and she ran up to me. She's like, I've got to tell you something. I've got to share something with you. She's like, remember that word you gave me a couple of years ago about the gold? And I was like, yeah. And she said, well, at the time, I was considering whether to be a part of a team that was going to go over to Saudi Arabia and actually dig for gold and raise money for what God's doing. And she goes, I wasn't sure whether that was something that I should be doing or not, but that confirmed, yep, I'm going to go with it. And then she pulled out her phone. She's like, look at this photo. And it was her holding a big nugget of gold. And she said, this would never have happened if you hadn't have shared that word with me. And I was blown away. All glory to God, because you know what? It just shows us. This is what made me think of it. Imagine if that was for a Christian lady. And, you know, we can desire the prophetic and we experience that a bit in church life and with other Christians. But imagine if we ask God, God, reveal something to me about my neighbor. Reveal something to me about the owner of the cafe out here in Southland. Reveal something to me about this woman walking past me right now that you want to encourage her with. Imagine if we did that and God just showed us something and then ended up leading them to Jesus. Because that's exactly what Jesus did with this woman at the well. He was able to reveal to her, he knew her like no one else. You know, these days people are so open to tarot card readings and palm readings and all this, you know, the crystals, and they're just so open to it. It's just a normal part of life for them. Imagine if they didn't even have to go to those things and search for them, because they had a Christian in their world that was saying, hey, I've been praying for you and I feel like this is something you need to hear right now, and they'll just be blown away and come to God. So I was really challenged by this, that God, I want to start seeing this stuff in my world, not just within the church, but with people who don't know him, because that's what Jesus did with this woman. Let's carry the presence of God to people by asking him to show us what people need to hear. So that's how Jesus did it in this instance with the woman at the well. He was ready to talk. He made statements that prompted questions about God, and he told her things that God had revealed to him. And what was the result? If you keep reading that chapter, and I encourage you to do it, it's an awesome story. She went and told her whole town about the encounter she just had. And then many from her town came and heard Jesus for themselves. And they ended up saying to the woman, do you know, we don't actually believe in Jesus anymore just because of what you said, but now we have experienced him for ourselves and we believe that this man really is the savior of the world. Now, I want you to listen closely to this next statement, because it's so vital that we get this. Everything we do as Christians is meant to be focused around leading people to experience Jesus for themselves. It's not about keeping him to ourselves. It's about carrying him to others so that everyone might know him. That's the goal, that all should be saved and know Jesus like we know him. Amen. Come on. And I believe God wants to stir up in us today just a passion for people. Just the fact that people don't know God. He wants to stir up in us a passion that we would take him to them. We would see the importance of our role in that. We need to be carriers of his presence. So what are you carrying? What are you carrying today? Because do you know, we can't carry something that we haven't been filled with. We can't carry something we don't already possess. Don couldn't give me that torch if he wasn't carrying a torch. He couldn't give me the light of the torch if he wasn't carrying it in the first place. And I'm so glad, because I stand here today and I didn't have that huntsman touch me. All because he was carrying something and he gave it to me. God can't use us to fill others with his presence if we're not filled with it in the first place. So how do we get filled with the presence of God then? Well, we do everything that Jesus said to do. The first step is believing and receiving Jesus Christ into our lives as our Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that today, I'm going to give you an opportunity very soon to be able to receive him into your life. So get ready for that moment. It's the most important decision you can make. But the next step for a believer is to be baptized in water. This is what Jesus did, and it says this is what we are to do as well. And then the next step after that is to be baptized or immersed in the Holy Spirit. So it's not just about deciding to follow Jesus. There's also the part where we're baptized in water and baptized in his Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples in Acts 1 verses 5, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1:8 that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. He said to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And you know that's exactly what happened. I'm going to quickly read in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they, the disciples, were all together in one place. Suddenly, the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So we can see, as the Holy Spirit came, as they were filled, a few things happened. There was wind. There was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. There was fire. They began to speak in other languages. In other words, they experienced the power of God. They didn't just learn about him, but they experienced his power in that room. And you know, this was the beginning of the early church. It didn't begin with a teaching seminar. It didn't begin with a book release and a book signing or an album launch. It actually began with the power of God being poured out on the people. And this is what God has available for us today. This is what's available to us. I don't want to just miss out on all these things that God is so willing to pour out on his people. And as this happened, when the disciples were there and they're speaking in all these other languages, it actually began to draw a crowd. Some of the crowd thought they were all drunk. Not everyone's going to understand a move of God when it's happening, so that's normal. That's going to happen. But many in the crowd were in awe, because around the disciples, there are a whole heap of Jews who were from many different nations. If you read in Acts, it tells you all the different nations that were around them hearing them speaking. And they said, hang on, this is a group of Galileans. How are we hearing them speak? They're speaking in my native tongue, saying how good God is. How do they even know my language? And then the next person's like, but they're saying it in my language too. And language after language of people are understanding all these different tongues. And so their eyes were just so wide with awe and wondering what's going on. And so then Peter then stands up and tells them what's going on. And that everyone, they're like, well, if this is what's happening, if Jesus is who you say he is, what do we need to do? And they said, Peter said to him, you need to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And do you know how many people were added to the church that day? They started off with 120 people, which is about what we are. Do you know how many people were added to the church that day? 3,000. So can you imagine with me for a moment? All of a sudden, 3,000 people are trying to get into this cinema because they hear a move of God happening. They hear wind, they see fire, they see people speaking in other languages. They just experience the move of God. So some people thought they were drunk, but most people were actually drawn to Jesus and called him Lord and Savior after that moment. I was so challenged by this because I want to see this today. I don't want to just settle for a reading here and there and be like, oh yeah, that's nice, that's true. I want to experience the power of God in my life. Are you hungry for that today? I'm so hungry for that. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Everyone say witnesses. God wants to fill us with his presence so that we can be witnesses for Jesus, so we can carry his presence to others. You know, we're all called to make disciples. It's not an option. It's actually something every follower of Jesus is called to do. And I believe the more filled we are with the presence of God, the more disciples we're going to make. Because the more of his presence we have, the more we're going to operate in his power. Do you know, I'm believing for the day when this cinema is packed, full of people, and we don't have enough room for everyone wanting to come and gather together and praise God. And do you know, it's not going to be because of all the miracles and signs and wonders going on here, because it is going to happen in this room, but it's actually going to be because every one of us grabs a hold, is filled with the presence of God, and then carries it out there, carries it out to the shopping center, carries it out to the people they have lunch with, to their neighborhood, to their schools, to their universities, to their mum's group, to their workplace, everywhere we go. You know, I'm believing that we're just going to carry his presence. We're going to be laying hands on people in our neighborhood, seeing them healed. We're going to be telling them things that God has revealed to us, and it's going to open their eyes wide in wonder, and they're going to come here because they're hungry, because they're searching. And it's going to happen because we carry his presence to people. See, it's not about just getting filled up in here and having a nice, awesome experience. It's about taking that with us wherever we go so that people can know Jesus. What are you carrying today? There is nothing more powerful that you could carry than the presence of God. I wonder if the band can come and join me now. You know what I love about God? He always has more of his presence to pour out. There's always more. You know, it's not meant to be a once-off thing that we have this incredible experience with God and then the rest of our life we have to remember that one time, oh, that was so good. That was amazing. Remember the good old days when that happened? No, there's more of his presence. It's meant to be a continual journey of filling and filling and filling every day. That's what's available to us. You know, I believed in Jesus and I received him into my life when I was a very young girl, maybe the age of 3 or 4. I remember being in my bedroom. I just got down on my knees and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. See, I've grown up in a Christian home and been surrounded by God, but there was that time when I was really young and I said, I want to make this decision for myself. I'd learned that that's what you have to do. So I invited him into my heart. And it was a very simple thing, but a very powerful moment. I knew what I'd done. I knew what had happened. Jesus was now inside me. And I was a Christian. But do you know, I'm so glad that it didn't stop there. I am so glad that when I grew a little bit older, I was probably about 7 or 8, and I got prayed for. We got asked to come down as kids and be prayed for at the front of church. And I remember getting prayed for and I just fell over. I was like so overwhelmed with God's presence. And as a 7, 8-year-old, I just started laughing and laughing, and I was just so full of joy. It literally went on for a couple of hours. Me and my brother were in the same position, just laughing and laughing. All the way home, we were just talking about Jesus and laughing. My parents are like, wow, okay. I didn't necessarily understand what was happening, but it was real. It was real, and I remember it. It was that real. But you know, I'm so glad it didn't stop there. I'm so glad that when I was in primary school, I decided to get water baptized. I was about grade 4 and I made a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus. And I said it publicly and I went down under the water, came up again, and it was a powerful moment. If you haven't done that yet, I encourage you, do it. As soon as you become a Christian, that's your next step. Get water baptized. You say goodbye to your old life, wash it away, come up. It just resembles your new life in Christ. And ever since I've done that, I'm just so grateful. I experience a new level of God's presence in my life. You know, I'm glad it didn't stop there. I bet you're wondering what comes next. we were all upstairs at Sunday school. I was about grade 5 or I can't remember, just young upstairs. And one of the pastors came up and prayed for a group of us kids. We were all in a circle. And he just laid hands on us and just asked the Holy Spirit to come. And then many of us kids just started speaking in another language. We just started speaking in tongues. And I didn't know what was happening. I didn't I'd heard about it. I didn't understand everything, but it was happening. And I remember that moment. I remember the pastor being like, "She's got it. She's got it." I was like, "Yes, I've got it." But it's as simple as that. When you hunger after something, this is something that God says He wants to pour out on us. And if a father on earth loves their child so much that when they ask for something, just how a father on earth wants to give their child that, how much more does your Father in heaven want to give you this gift of speaking in tongues, of being able to be edified and use words that you'd... Sometimes when we pray, we run out of words, but when we speak in this other language, it's like our spirit communicating with the Spirit of God. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm so glad it didn't stop there at that experience. See, I have had time after time after time where I have tangibly felt the presence of God come over me. And it changes you. It strengthens you. It's incredible. It's available to us at every single moment, a new encounter. But you know what the problem is? God can't fill us with His presence if we're so filled with other things already. Even God cannot fill up what is already full. See, we can't carry the presence of God if we've got too many other things in our hands. Our son Zeph, he loves his teddies. He's got so many teddies. And before we go anywhere, he'll just be carrying all his teddies and then he'll see Don or I with some food. And then he wants some food. So I'm like, "All right, here you go." And he's like, but that means I'll have to let go of a teddy. I'm like, "Okay, fine, don't have the food." And then he's like, "No," he's crying out for the food. So we hold it out again and he has to drop a teddy. And then he gets the food. And then he always tries to pick up the teddy that he dropped. And then he ends up dropping all of them. But this is what it can be like with us. If we're carrying so many things, God is always there saying, "I've got food for you. I've got my presence to pour out on you afresh." But if you really want to hang on to that thing you're doing right now, if you really want to keep being busy and carrying around all these things in life, that's okay. You can do that, but I've got more for you. This is what the presence of God does. So when what's in your hands that you need to let go of so that you can carry more of the presence of God? There's an illustration which really spoke to me. Again, it's about our son. When he was about 4 months old, we would bath him and we would get him used to water being poured all over his head. So I'd pour water from the top of his head and go all over him. And every time I did this, he was so overwhelmed by this sensation. Whatever toy he was holding, he just would drop it and he would just gasp. He would be like, and just hold his breath, drop everything else and hold his breath. And God showed me that's what my presence does. When you are so filled and saturated with the presence of God, you're forced to let everything else go because nothing compares to His presence. And I just thought that was such a beautiful picture of my son not even being able to just focus on breathing because of what was happening to him. And that is what's actually available to us in the presence of God. When we fully immerse ourselves in it, it becomes all-consuming. The problem is too many of us, and this is very true, we are so used to the presence of God being easily accessible that we take it for granted. We just come in, dip our toes in, wait around a little bit, but then we see other things in life, so we pick those up, start carrying them. But God is wanting us to be completely filled so that we can carry Him to a world who needs Him. Have a look right now around you. If there's an empty seat around you, that's not meant to be empty. If Jesus, when He walked this earth, He had whole towns following Him because the presence of God was on His life. And people just had to follow and see what was going to happen next and come and be healed. That seat next to you is not meant to be empty. It's meant to be filled with people who are hungry after God. There is a life that's waiting to be changed, and it'll be because you carry God's presence to them. I love how the woman at the well, she left her water jar there. The very thing she had been carrying, because she thought it was important, she actually dropped that, left it with Jesus, and ran back to her whole town and told them about this amazing man she had just met that could be the Son of God. What do you need to drop today so that God can fill you afresh with his presence? Because a whole town around here is depending on it. There's a whole shopping center out here. They're doing their shopping right now. They have no idea what's available to them. What do you need to drop so that you can carry the presence of God to them? We're not here to be in comfortable chairs and just dip our toes in the presence of God every week and have a nice time. We are here to reach the lost, to carry the presence of God to them.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. It is an incredible privilege to share with you the Word of God, and we trust that you've been blessed by listening. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today we want to extend an invitation to you to begin the faith journey of following Jesus. The Bible teaches us every one of us have been created for relationship with God. Sin has separated every one of us from that relationship, but God has provided a solution in giving us his Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You have an opportunity today to respond with a confession of faith and a decision to believe in Jesus. Today we invite you to make a deliberate decision to invite Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Romans 10:10 says that with our hearts we believe and are justified, and with our mouths we confess and we are saved. So right now, if you have faith in your heart and you're ready to make that decision, you can simply pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. Thank you that through his death and resurrection, I am forgiven of my sin to start a brand new life. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, and to fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Today, I choose you as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you that I am now born again as a child of God. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would love to know, and we would love to help you in any way that we can. You can contact us on our Bridge Church website, bridgechurch.com, and we'd love to hear from you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you have been challenged and encouraged.